Take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. I'm going to share with you a few verses of Scripture from this particular chapter as we deal with a subject that I've entitled Mother's Homeschool. Mother's Homeschool. And I want to make it very clear that this first chapter involves both fathers and mothers, and I'm going to get to the fathers, Lord willing, on Father's Day, the Lord tarries. But today we're going to kind of hone the message toward the role that mothers have to play in the home. The book of Proverbs begins with these words, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thine head and chains about thy neck." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this very special day. And Lord, as we focus upon these few verses of Scripture, I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us today from your Word. Lord, there are so many things that are vying for our attention these days. The culture wants to have our attention. The world wants to have our attention. The devil wants us to be distracted from the authority of the Word of God. And Lord, we have to determine by thy grace today to listen with ears that desire to hear. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed defeat the devil and would instruct us from your Word today, that this would indeed be a profitable time. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for these dear ladies that are with us today who have children and grandchildren. And Lord, what an important role and responsibility the Bible places upon them. And we ask, dear Father, that your Word would speak to all of our hearts today, and that your Word would especially speak to mothers. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I said the book of Proverbs begins with this statement, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." You know, Solomon was a great king, and the son of a great king. That means he was well known and that he was powerful in the world of his time. And people and other kings bowed down before him, we're told. Queen of Sheba came to see all of his wealth, and she came and bowed in his presence. He was a powerful man. But I want to ask this question. How did he treat his mother? How did he treat his mother? You know, the greatness of a man can be judged in many different ways, but I want you to know that I think the Bible makes very clear that the greatness of a man is based in many ways on how he treats his mother. You know, how you treat your mother will show to other people and will show to your own children how you respect women. Is there a respect for women? Is there a respect for motherhood? And by the way, your sons will take your cue. If you're a son or a father that does not respect women and that treats them as low life, and by the way, there are many religions around the world that do that. They denigrate women and tear down women. And wherever Christianity has gone, it has always lifted up women. I'm so tired of hearing about Christianity and just, oh, they think they're... No, I want to tell you something. God has exalted women to their highest place. He shared that in His Word. And we stand with God. There is nothing lowly about being a mother and teaching children and leading a home. God puts great premium upon that. How did Solomon treat his mother? Let me give you kind of an indication. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. You don't need to turn there. Listen carefully. Bathsheba, that was Solomon's mother, therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne, and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. You want to know how Solomon treated his mother? He treated her with the utmost of respect. Now, let me give you the context of what is happening here. Bathsheba is coming to Solomon to ask the Shunammite, that was David's wife in his last days, that Solomon give the Shunammite over to Adonijah. He wanted her for his wife. And so Adonijah had got into the good graces of Bathsheba, and Bathsheba's going to come, and she's going to try to turn Solomon's heart toward Adonijah, who wanted Solomon dead, by the way, to turn his heart to give the Shunammite, which was David's wife before he passed away, to Adonijah. Not a very noble request. And yet Solomon, in all of this, respected his mother. Now think about this. Many things had happened up to this point. The whole situation with Bathsheba and David was wicked. A man died, a baby died, and great sin had come into that household. But God, through His mercy and His grace, had allowed things to heal. And Bathsheba is now given a place of honor in the palace with Solomon, her son. And he respects his mother. Now, folks, this is very important to see, because I want you to know the heart of Solomon as he writes by pen of inspiration through the Holy Spirit of God, testimony about how families should operate. I want you to understand that. This was a guy that spoke with some understanding and out of deep and profound respect for his mother. This was not off the cuff. This was something that came from his own heart. Now, there are basically six important things that are given to us here in verses 7 through 9 that I want to hone in on today. We're going to probably do just a few of these this morning, and tonight we'll finish this up. These six things are not the kind of wisdom that you will get from educators' magazines. You're not going to get these from advice columns online. And by the way, they are by the thousands. Everybody's got an advice blog these days. Most of it is not worth the print that's taking up on your screen. You got to use wisdom and discernment. What I'm going to share with you from God's Word does not come from Todd Brainerd. It comes from the Word of God. And I'm honing in specifically on the role of mothers today, but we're going to speak to also the role of fathers and the role of children in the home in response to the training that should take place there. The absence of God in the world's family advice realm is a very deadly flaw. I want you to know that this morning. Solomon means for us to hear through the authorship of the Holy Spirit of God, the center of wisdom concerning home living. What we are going to share is not something that you will hear on college campuses and in universities across our land. It comes from the Word of God. So I want you to understand that going forward. We often think of the book of Proverbs as a book of what you can learn from ordinary earthly life. And much of it is. But I want you to think this way. The point of this book is to bring all of the things of earthly living into relationship to God. All right? That's what the book of Proverbs does. It brings daily living into relationship to God so that He becomes the center of wisdom and home living. I wonder how many homes operate that way today, of people who attend church, where God, where Jesus Christ is the center of wisdom and home living. Now, let me give you an example of this from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 through 9. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? The capital L, by the way. Who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of our God. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm trying to bring this relationship to home living, wisdom about home living, and I want you to see how the writer of Proverbs brings into account the relationship of these matters to God. Notice this. Do you see what he says about God? The wise man prays, guard me from riches and guard me from poverty. Why? Why does the wise man pray this way? Notice, if I become rich, I might say this, who is my God? Who is God? I would allow riches to become my God. So God, guard me from riches so I will not come to the place where I am turned away from God. Do you understand where I'm coming from now about these principles about the home? Everything should be understood in light of God. He's the center of wisdom and home living. But how about poverty? Lord, guard me from poverty, lest I should deny thee by stealing and profane thy name. That's basically what he's saying. If I am poor, then I might go out and steal, and as a result, profane thy name. Now notice something here. This is important. Riches are dangerous because of the ultimate issue is God Almighty. Poverty is dangerous because the ultimate issue is God Almighty. Understand that it's not because you might go to jail if you steal. All right? That's not the ultimate reason. It's because you might profane God's name. Now, this is where we have to think when it comes to home living, because this is where most people do not come. Well, I want to have kids to turn around because I want them to be good citizens. Well, that's nice, but that's not the ultimate purpose. Well, I want my kids to be pleasant to be around. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Well, I don't want my kids to bring shame to my name. Well, that's noble. But that's not the ultimate purpose, is it? I want to train my children. You should desire to train your children that they might bring glory to God. There's a complete different focus there. If I'm worried about them bringing a stain on my name, I will make decisions in my house affecting my children based solely on how they are affecting me. And that's what? That's self-centered parenting. Are you listening? Boy, there's some people, I'm just worried about what they're going to think about me. Well, then you're not thinking about God's glory, are you? You're thinking about you. And children are being trained for God's glory, for God's purposes. And that's what the book of Proverbs centers on. Everything should be taught and understood in light of God and His purposes and His glory. Now, with that understanding, I want us to look at six lessons about the family from this passage. Look at verse 7, please. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Lesson number 1, family school, or mom's homeschool, if you want to call it that, because mothers are basically in those early years, they are the ones that are providing the most intimate of training. All right? They're with the children a great deal. Not that fathers are not with the children, but when I'm going to tell you something, when they cry in the middle of the night, they're not asking for daddy. They want mom. All right? Why? Because mom is special. Mothers are special. Family school must begin with this foundation. It must begin with the fear of the Lord. Do you realize that that has just about been erased from American culture? That has just about been erased. If you go back and read the early founding fathers and you read the writings of Noah Webster and you read the writings of some of the great men of the past, Jonathan Edwards and Cotton Mather and some of the great leaders, they always in their preaching emphasized the teaching of the fear of God in the home, the instruction of the home, being centered around the fear of God. That's the beginning. That's the starting point. But we're not starting there in America anymore. We are raising and rearing a generation of self-centered children who focus solely upon self-esteem, thinking about self from the time they're little babies all the way up to the time that they leave the home. Thinking about self, thinking about self, thinking about what affects me, thinking about what I should do. But the fear of the Lord is a completely different perspective. What does God think? What does God say? What does God teach me from His Word about this? A complete submission to God. And that's why the book of Proverbs is not very popular today in most of our churches. We have slowly replaced the biblical teachings with a secular psychology that focuses on the child only and the child's feelings rather than on objective truth about what God says and the things that are to be repeated and drilled into the hearts and minds of the children so that one day they will love God and fear Him themselves. What is the foundation? It is the fear of the Lord. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament agree that children have only one responsibility in the family. Now, this may grate some folks. This goes against what you may have learned in family psychology classes in a university, secular university especially, but even today in Christian colleges, they are not teaching the Bible. They're teaching the Bible mixed with psychology. What is the one responsibility in the family that a child has? To obey their parents. Boy, even saying that today will get you in trouble. But that's what the Bible says. Obey their parents. But today we have a power sharing, and I'm going to say more about that in just a little bit. Now that sure sounds old-fashioned, does it not? That's the one responsibility of children, to obey their parents. But that is the fundamental building block of living in this world. To learn to obey parents, because you see, children's first exposure to God is exposure to their what? Their parents. That's where they learn about God. They're not going to learn it in our public schools. The only way that children are effectively going to learn about God is through Christian parenting and teaching them our response to God. If ye love me, the Bible says, God speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the fundamental building block of Christian living is obedience to my Heavenly Father. Amen? That's my responsibility. I didn't hear a lot of amens out there. We've already gone to sleep? I hope not. Very important. My responsibility to God is to obey Him. And that illustrates my love for Him. The culture says, oh, no, no, no. You're confining, you're restricting the expression of a child by teaching them the fear of the Lord. So the culture would strip that out of the home life, and when they do, they strip life away. They strip knowledge and wisdom away from the child. Because the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning, notice this in verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oftentimes it is said that this is referring to children. But as I've read this passage and I began to think in relationship to who Solomon is talking to his son, obviously, but communicating to him when he would become a father, when he would become the leader of a home. I think in many cases there are parents who foolishly despise wisdom and instruction. It's not just limited to the children here, talking about children being fools, but sometimes moms and dads are fools. They despise wisdom. Well, I don't follow the Bible when it comes to the instruction of children. There are a lot of things in the Bible that I don't do. You do that to your own peril. You are rejecting, first of all, the fear of the Lord, and therefore you're rejecting knowledge and wisdom. And so you will get the product that comes from the rejection of wisdom and instruction. You see, God looks at the home as a school, and the subject is God. Do you understand that? The subject is not how to use a fork. Now, that's good teaching. We need to teach our children how to use a fork. You know, we teach kids, don't run around the house with a sharp pencil now. Or don't run around the house with a pair of scissors. Be very careful. Oh, we want to make sure that they're safe. But you can teach them all those things and miss everything that's of any value. How is not running with a pair of scissors going to help them in hell? You understand? We want to teach things that will keep them safe. But our most important subject is God. And that's why we are seeing in our churches today so many young people, when they graduate from high school, they graduate from church. They graduate from church. Hey, I don't have to go to church anymore. My parents made me go all of my life. I'm going to tell you something. They never were schooled in the subject of God and obedience to God and loving God. Because if they loved God, they want to be in God's house. They want to be around God's people. They want to hear God's Word. And people that graduate from church and graduate from God are people that never learn to obey God and never learn to love God. And that's why they don't want to be in church. They went out from us because they were not of us. That's a biblical truth. It's a hard truth. It's not an easy truth to understand and be able to fully grasp. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The subject of homeschool, and I'm using that term talking about the family, teaching God to children, must have the right foundation or the subject matter will be totally skewed and the grades received will make no difference for eternity. All right? This is very, very important. Let's go on in this understanding. The family is not just a place for kids to learn not to spill their drink or to say please and thank you, though these are very important lessons. The family is where all of this and more begins with God's Word and is shown to be authoritative in the life to the glory of God. Moms, dads, you are to teach your children that this is the authoritative Word of God. But if you never go to God's Word, you never consult God's Word, we don't live by principles in the Word of God, and we substitute little cliches that sound religious but are not impacted by the Word of God, we will produce a generation of kids that will graduate from church and graduate from God and in most cases will never return back to Him. Now, some folks never learned that growing up, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which simply means to trust God in everything. Some children grow up in homes where the panic button is hit. Something happens in the family. Terrible things happen in homes. I heard just this week, terrible tragedy. Lady got a phone call, said, phone call, line 3, emergency. She picked up the phone. She came running down the stairwell, upstairs there, went out the door. News quickly spread that she had just heard that her 4-year-old son had unbuckled his life jacket and had wandered into the pool and drowned. Now, that's real living. That's real life. That happens. And how you respond to that illustrates whether you have the fear of the Lord as your foundation or whether you just have the fear of man. There are completely different responses. And I don't know the situation. I don't know the home. I'm praying for the family at this time. I've known this lady for some time. And my heart grieves for her that she lost her 4-year-old son. But some people would immediately hit the panic button and immediately blame God. It's all God's fault. Those that come to that conclusion are people that don't have the foundation of the fear of the Lord. I'm just telling you, straight up from God's Word. Because the Bible says in verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't come from the same basic building blocks of life that a believer that fears God comes from. They've got a whole different foundation. They've got a whole series of different building blocks than a Christian does. And so when tragedies come in life, they respond differently. They respond out of fear and out of fear of man, not out of fear of God. Completely different response. Now, trusting God and praying for His supply is a family that trusts God and that fears God. A family that whines and complains and doesn't like this and doesn't like that and, oh, why are all these problems coming to me, is a family that doesn't have the foundation of the fear of the Lord. Now, I try to be very straight with you folks, because the culture says, well, that's nonsense. It's every American's privilege to whine and to gripe. Do you understand that? It's every American's privilege to whine and to gripe. That's what we teach in the culture. That's what's taught in our schools. If you don't like something, you complain about it. That's how you get things done. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so we whine until we get what we want. Right? That's the American way. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you something. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. In other words, we're not to gripe and to whine. Now, I know in a secular world, we have to stand up sometimes. And we have to say, this is wrong. I'm not talking about that. That's not whining. That's a statement of fact. Whining is having something good and not liking it. Do you understand that? Whining is having something good before you and not liking it. Well, I want something else. I don't want that. Well, this is good. I don't want that. I want something else. And you know, there are children that are watching us in this culture of whiners and complainers. I don't like this. I don't like that. And what do? They grow up and they become the same way. And we say, I wonder how they got to be that way. Because of the foundation that was laid in the home. Very important. We need to quit our whining and belly aching and get on our knees and say, God, our foundation in our family from this point on will be the fear of the Lord. That will be our guiding truth. That will be our foundation. It's never too late to start there, because that's the beginning point. Isn't that wonderful? It's never too late to start, because it's always the right place to start. It's the only place to start. And so you can have a fresh one this morning if you desire. Second lesson. Family school originates with God. Family school, mother and a father, begins with God. The family, I'm here to tell you this morning, is God's idea. It didn't come out of a evolutionary process that, oh, wow, we have a family now. Where did that come from? Well, it came from God. The family school is God's idea. Look at verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, what's taken for granted here? What's taken for granted by Solomon? The home is made up of a father and a mother. Takes us all the way back to Genesis, does it not? Genesis 1 and verse 17. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. What did God start with? What were the building blocks of civilization? It wasn't Bill and Bob. It wasn't. What was the foundation? Adam and Eve. And God performed the first marriage ceremony and wrote the vows. And this is what He said to Adam. Therefore, a son shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And Adam's looking at him. I don't have a father and I don't have a mother. What was he laying down? What was God laying down in the marriage vows? He was laying down what they were going to produce and how their children were to respond to what? Homeschool. The family school. They were going to teach their children that a boy is to leave his mother and father and start his own home with a woman. They are to get married and they are to raise up seed. God established the principle of family in the earliest chapters of the Bible. And what are we doing today? We're redefining the Scriptures. We're being told that we're bigots and that we are haters because we take the Bible at its core. The basis of civilization, there are no children produced by homosexual relationships. And when you say that, you said, ah, there you go again, you homophobe. No, not at all. We are simply restating what God said in His Word. Listen, young people, I'm concerned for you. I know as a pastor, because I've been pastoring now for nearly 26 years, I have watched, and I know basically the percentage of young people that will go out and fully embrace the world, and it breaks my heart to be given truth and to be given light and to walk away from it. You do so to your own peril and your own disaster. You may receive the praise of men and women all around the world, as an NBA basketball player did a couple of weeks ago when he came out and he said, I'm a gay and I'm a Christian. And the accolades poured in from the highest ranks of our government to average citizens that went on the Twitter feed. But this was rejected. This was rejected. We're being told now that we are to change the Scriptures. How can you change the foundation of civilization? How can you change that? You can't. You cannot. Civilization will crumble to pieces and eventually end up as Sodom and Gomorrah, a burnt spot on the earth, scorched spot. What had happened previously in that city? There had been a rejection of godly principles. Just the simple truth of a man and a woman being the core of a home. Very important. Earth-shattering truth. The building blocks of civilization. But we are being taught and told in our secular schools and in our universities, this is bogus garbage from the Bible. But it's not. It's living truth. And if you reject living truth, you have no choice but to go to a devil's hell. And we're to teach children this in family school. Are we just turning over all of our teaching to schools? I'll turn it over to Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers will handle that. No. Kids spend more time with you. They only get Sunday school once a week. They need a mom and dad that are engaged in the teaching of the Word of God. Very quickly, just about done with this. How are they to be fruitful and multiply, according to Genesis 1:17? By indiscriminate mating and pregnancies? Is that the answer? Absolutely not. It's to be done within the framework of a marriage and a home. Genesis 2 and verse 24 makes it clear that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's it. One flesh. That's the building block. That's the statement. God's family school is to be in every Christian home. And by the way, even in secular homes, a secular family that operates according to biblical principles will turn out better kids than the alternative. We've seen that over the years. We've witnessed it. We have good people that aren't saved, but they follow biblical principles. They'll turn out young people that are better behaved and more respectful than those that are just allowed to just grow up with no guidance and no direction. Very quickly, lesson number three. The family as a school. Maybe you've never thought of it that way. The family as a school. The family is God's basic school for instructing children on how to live in this world. Look at verse 8 again. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The indication here is the father is the one that lays down the law. That's the word instruction there. It means to lay out the law. And the mother is the teacher of the family law. She's the one that takes a statement and makes it practical for a child to understand and live by. That's the mother's role. God ordained the family not just to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with people, but to fill the earth with instructed people from God's Word. The family is the place where the next generation is impacted for God's purposes to be ready to live life in the world and in the next. So God clearly has established these three things in these first two verses. Now, Lord willing, tonight, we are going to get into lesson number 4, 5, and 6, and specifically the responsibility of both fathers and especially the role of mom. The role of mom in her instruction of the children. It says here, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." I will never forget our founding pastor, Dr. Hobbs, telling about the fact that there were many, many times when he was tempted to do wrong. When he went away from home in World War II, he said he went to California, went to Texas, and there were times where he was invited to go out and drink all night, and he said, "All I could hear was the voice of my mother. Don't do that. Don't do that, Dayton. I don't want you to go down that pathway." And so he'd said, "I hear the voice of my mom," and I would say no to doing that. Now, what is that? A law was laid down. Amen? A law was laid down, and a voice is recorded. And I would imagine, for those of you that have already lost your moms, you can still hear that voice. Though her tongue has been silent for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, that voice still echoes in your heart and in your ears. Those truths that mom gave when you were young, and they're still there. They're still there. Folks, God knows what He's doing. He knows what should be done. And we have a responsibility to follow the precious Word of God. What is the foundation of the family school? It's the fear of the Lord. Who is the founder of the family school? It is God. What is the subject matter of the family school? It is God Almighty. That's the subject. Well, there's so many other things that we need to be teaching them. Yes, but always in the context of God Almighty. And if you keep that purpose, we'll have some young people that one day that will say, "God, I will do whatever you want me to do, and I'll go wherever you want me to go." And they will follow the Word of God, and they'll have a home, a husband and a wife, and they'll train their children according to the principles of the Word of God. And you, if you follow the Word of God now, when you're off the scene, when you're dead and gone, those voices will continue to speak throughout the remainder of their days. And they will be repeated by your children into the ears of your grandchildren, and then later on, they'll be repeated in the ears of great-grandchildren. And the truth of God will continue on. Why is this not happening today? Why is there such failure in the church today? It's because we have started at the wrong point. We haven't started with the fear of the Lord. We've started at the fear of our culture. What are people going to think? We have to temper our speech. We can't say anything anymore because people will be offended. Let me tell you something. Jesus said in His day, people were offended. "Marvel not if the world hates you, for it hated me also." People were offended by what Jesus said. That's why they hung Him on the cross. So you might as well get past that, folks. We need to raise up some families and some children that will honor God. We want to honor our mothers this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask our ladies to stand together. I'm going to have three of our young ladies come. We're going to give out some gifts, but we're going to have some prayer together this morning that God will undertake. If you're a grandmother here, your role did not end as soon as the last child went out and you became an empty nester. It didn't end. I told you I was talking to Brother Threlfall. He said, "You know what? We're busier now than we were when we were at home. We've got our children scattered all over the globe and grandchildren calling, and they need advice. And they're talking to Grandma and Grandpa to get advice." Let me tell you something. Your teaching role and your homeschool does not end matriculation just when the last kid goes through. When the grandkids come back through, guess what? And until the grandkids come, there needs to be that teaching and instruction. Amen? It doesn't end. It doesn't end. May God help us to be the right kind of teachers and have the right kind of homes that will produce young people that will honor God and not graduate from church and graduate from God. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, it's so powerful. It's so clear. And yet the culture muddles and makes fun and mocks of the truth of God's Word, and people run from the Bible. Oh, we don't want to be near something that's mocked by the world. Lord, how sad that we cannot stand these days. Lord, You desire to have children that will grow up and honor Thee. And that all starts in the home on the foundation of fearing God. Lord, You're the founder of the family. You performed the first marriage. You wrote the first vows. You've indicated that it consists of a mother and father. And there are roles that need to be carried out of teaching the fear of the Lord. Father, I pray that You would instill in the hearts of our folks here today a love for Your Word, a love for its authority in the life. And I pray that You would encourage our moms here today especially, that they might take up their responsibilities and be faithful, and grandmothers as well. That ministry never ends. And we'll give You the praise and glory for victories in heart and encouragement that comes, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.